Amen. It sure is good to be back with y'all. I didn't realize it had been so long since the Lord has blessed us to come back. And me and Lisa was talking. It's been about 4 or 5 years since we've been back. And the Lord's had a sense of humor since while chasing after children at 40 years of age is a lot different than 20. But He's blessed my family, and there's 4 kids now and everything. But I stand before you today going to tell you that I'm not supposed to be preaching. The world turned, more or less said, told Miss Lisa one day, actually it was on a Friday morning, more or less that your husband has been taking something or all this stuff and just filled her head full of stuff. And I remember going to bed Thursday night being sick and kind of having the inner ear trouble and everything. When I finally come back to myself, I was in the ICU there at New Albany. And they said I had meningitis and ultimately had pneumonia. They put me on the ventilator and stuff and everything. And I worked for the hospital there through the ambulance service, and some of my own colleagues come and got me. And I said I fought them, and I don't remember the ride there and everything. And if I did remember, I'd have probably still fought them. But still, I didn't remember it. And then they more or less said I probably wouldn't ever get back and everything like it was. And when I finally got to go home, it seemed like everything I turned on, it talking about meningitis. I told them, I said, even Sesame Street seemed like they were talking about meningitis and all the different things that people got and stuff that didn't come back from it, and deficits and things like that. Well, I stand before you, and as Brother Donald was talking about the but gods, and Lord willing, hopefully next Sunday, my folks don't know this, but hopefully next Sunday we're going to have a But God Sunday. I got to thinking, except by the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing before you today. And you always knew that I didn't have a mind, but what little bit of mind that I didn't have, I sure thought I'd lost it, and I don't remember as much as I used to. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad, because I told him one time, I said, when Miss Lisa tells me you need to wash the dishes, I act like I don't remember, but that may be selective. But today I want to talk to you just for a moment about a moment to remember. I shared this with my folks there at Parks. The Lord has blessed us. It'll be 6 years, hopefully in December, that we've been there. And I'll be honest with you, just like this church, I try to lift up my church and not try to tear them down, but I'm the weakest link in that church. And I've got some folks that like to pray, and folks like to get in behind and do stuff. And just like this church here, I've had a tremendous amount of good memories and friends. And y'all got a tremendous pastor and pastor's wife here, and I'm just tickled to death for you. And it seems like the church is growing and by little ones and new faces and stuff. But in Luke chapter number 8, and we'll eventually be over in John, but I promise this, so I'll keep it very quickly and everything. We're going to talk about Mary Magdalene. And Mary, of course, in Luke chapter number 8, she had some moments in time. In Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 1, and it says, "And it came to pass," it said afterwards, "that he went throughout every city and the village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils." Now you would think that probably in her life that this would be in a moment in time that she would never forget. So we'll title that "A Touch That Mary Experienced." Friend, tonight or this afternoon, that I pray that you have had that touch of God, where that you've come encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I was sharing with a young man there at church, our brotherhood, this morning, and he got to telling his testimony, and I remember at Center Hill Baptist Church about how the Lord had been dealing with me and stuff. And I had a good case of religion, but I didn't have salvation. And I remember Brother Steve Brown, Brother H.V. Brown's son, talk about the ones that really got his attention. It was when Brother H.V. stopped getting on him and stopped telling him about the way that he needed to live and what he was doing wrong. It was when Daddy hushed. I thought I'd gotten to the point to where that God, I'd reached that place that where God would never convict me again. And friend, it wasn't a major shining light, and it wasn't a thunderous voice in which that God spoke, but it was just more or less like Dad could do. He could just put that little, it seemed like a big finger to me, but that finger of his upon my shoulder, and I knew that I'd better straighten up. Well, that night, I honestly believe that nobody saw the line, but I believe that at Center Hill Baptist Church, across those double doors, that across that threshold was my line. I believe when Brother J.W. stood and he was preaching that message, I was the only one in that church. And if I would not have went down that aisle, and I didn't have to pull my brother-in-law, but I grabbed a hold of him, and more or less, long story short, I gave my heart and life to the Lord. Mary, it got to experience the touch of God. And friend, this morning, I can honestly say whether I don't deserve it, but God touched my heart and my life that night. And I was saved by the glorious God. So we find that those devils had come out of her. But not only that, we also find something else out. If y'all go over into Luke, and I promise I'll make it 10 minutes. But in Luke chapter number 8, I want to show you something else. Brother Donald was preaching, but I was also writing some thoughts down. So I was trying to do two things at once, but I enjoyed the sermon this morning. Luke chapter number 8. I said 8, but Luke chapter number 23. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 23. Let's back up to where that they were at. This is the crucifixion now in Luke chapter 23, verse number 51. We also find, and behold, it says there was a man named Joseph of the counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not conceded to the counselor of the deed of them, and he was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in the stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation of the Sabbath drew on, and the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And in verse 56, and they returned and prepared spices and anointment, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. So we find here, and I want to show you a verse that we find that she had that touch, but also we find that in your own life, just as I was not trying to make you feel sorry for me, but sometimes there's some tough times in a Christian's life. Sometimes you may not understand exactly what is going on, or why things have to take place, why things have to move on and stuff. And the Steels have come out with that song about "But God," and if you haven't watched the video and everything, that they ask if you had a "but God" moment to submit it and everything, and they were going to put it in there. But one particular part was, as they was holding up signs, it was a silent testimony, and said, "My husband died and I didn't understand." And then it went on and said that until the funeral, it said, "My drug addicted son that had not seen in many years was saved at his funeral." And boy, that just flew all over me. Because friend, we're not promised tomorrow. I mean, you think about it, moms and dads. What is the most precious thing in your life, apart from your salvation, is the salvation of your kids, and that your kids will remember, they'll remember how human you were. They see the mistakes. They see you blow up and get mad. They know that you love them and stuff like that. But to think about that my life, even if it means giving my life, that someone else would be able to be saved. My life for Jesus, because Jesus gave His life for me. Friend, that is something to think about. And so we find John gives this account. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." So this was a tough time. They were seeing their loved one be crucified, and he did not deserve it. So friend, in your own life, there's some tough times. I wouldn't trade my Christian walk with anything, but yet you think about, there's going to be some times when your faith is going to be tested. There's going to be some times when the only thing that you may be able to pray is like me is, "Lord, keep my feet on the ground, because I sure want to leave this old place." So, friend, we find that this was a tough time. But y'all already know the end of this story. As like Paul Harvey said, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story, but you already know it. But just let me fan that flame one more time. Go back over into John very quickly, and this is where I'll finish up. Like I said, moments to remember. So you'd think the touch would be a moment to remember. You'd think that tough time would be a moment to remember. But friend, there's going to be a time when not only the touch, the tough times, but yet we're also going to talk about exactly when the Lord speaks to you, when He talks to you. In John chapter number 21, I believe. And we find that actually it's verse number 20, I'm sorry. But John chapter 20, in verse number 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him." So, friend, she had forgotten all of these things that she had been taught. You know, that's just like us. That's just like me. I'm not going to throw no stones at nobody. God works a miraculous miracle. He does tremendous things and everything. And then all of a sudden we turn around and face something else. And it's like, oh, I've never faced this. Well, friend, the same thing that got us through in the past time is the same thing that's going to get us through this time. And she had forgotten that He said on the third day, I'm going to rise again. But let's go on down in verse number 11. They've come back. "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." You see, because she was going to say goodbye. She was going to show her respects one last time. You see, friend, the church, they're not dying out. Friend, we're just getting ready to be moved. Amen. We're just getting ready because we're getting ready to go home one of these days, folks. We need to be anticipating the Jesus coming back, because one of these days, this world, it may not get any better. But yet, we have got some place to look forward to. And think about it. It says she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels which sitteth on one hand, one at the head and the other at His feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto Him, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him." And she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Friend, think about your life, about those moments and when God made Himself real in your heart, in your life. Most definitely, salvation ought to be the most important and the most vivid. Above you getting married, above your kids being born, and all these things, that personal, well, I don't like to use the word encounter, but experience in which Jesus came into your heart. But notice what else. He even spoke to her and said, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Why seekest thou?" She was so centered on the things that she saw. Y'all stay with me. She wasn't realizing what she was hearing. Friend, we can get so wrapped up in this whole world that, oh, what are we going to do? How is it going to work out? You know, I've got to do this. I've got to pay this bill. I've got to, you know, and all this stuff. And all along, the Lord is speaking to us. And we don't hear it. Another thing, we also find something else out. She's supposing Him to be the gardener. She's heard Jesus speak many a time. Notice what else it says. "Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away." Can you not almost imagine the Lord just smiling? Can you almost just anticipate, you know, you can see this building up and how many a times that the Lord, I disappoint Him so many times, but yet when He knows that, hey, Frank, for once, he's fixing to finally get it just for a minute or two. Can you just imagine? He had just spoke to her, but yet that wasn't familiar to her. But notice what He said. "Jesus saith unto her, Mary." And then all from the touch, from all the tough things that she had gone through, what meant the most. I mean, and you can say whatever how that you want to, but I believe that when she had that talk or that conversation with the Lord, it was a moment that she would never, ever forget. And friend, this morning or this afternoon, I hope that you have those moments, because God each day wants to make Himself real. Because friend, think about it. If we as children of God do not experience what God has laid out for us, this world sure is not, because this Bible, they can't understand. They're spiritually undiscerned and everything. They don't understand why we can still have a smile on our face when we're going through tragedy. Why we can still have that hope beyond all measure when everything is falling apart. When we're supposed to just be all crumbling on the inside, when we have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that keeps our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Friend, today, do you have that moment or moments in which that Jesus has made Himself real? My prayer is, I sure hope so. I thank you and praise you. Be praying for you always on my heart. And Brother Donald, I'm telling you, you have a very special folk, and y'all got a very special pastor and pastor's wife. Love y'all.